Hello, this is Amy, the mom.
Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Grennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBI Network, and we're glad to have you join us this evening. We're located out of Memphis, Tennessee, but I'm talking to you live from Redmond, Washington. Just for your information, anyone can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Live or by going to the archives, which are available shortly after the show finishes. Actually, it says the on-demand section instead of archives, so look for that, on-demand. If you're not online or have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in at 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142. Press the one button. And that will get the moderator, Annie, to let you know, to get back with you as soon as possible. And we will get to your questions as soon as possible, too, especially when we have a lot of people. And it looks like we're going to have a really busy show tonight, a lot of people calling in, which is great. We've got a fabulous guest, and I will share that information in a minute. But I want to tell you about the network that I'm part of. And all the great shows that we have throughout the week. Of course, my show is the first show, which is Monday at 6:30 Central Standard Time. These are all Central Standard Time calls. And then the Yano Center of Light comes on right after me at 8 p.m. And that's with Steve Blanchard. He's from Memphis, Tennessee. He's great. Gotta listen to Steve, and he has wonderful guests on his show. On Tuesday, the I Am Well show is at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's hosted by Anna Mika. She is from Europe, and the United States, she has a lot of people, very high-quality people on her show, so be sure and check her out. The Night Search show is at 9:30 on Tuesday. That's hosted by Eddie Middleton from Memphis, Tennessee. And Eddie is the Tennessee State Director for MUFON, which is an organization that investigates UFO sightings and a lot more. Fun show. On Wednesday, the No Show is at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Reverend Robert McMillan, and he is out of Little Rock, Arkansas, and he specializes in the New Thought Movement. The Laws of Material Wealth show comes on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m., and that is hosted by James Renfrew Powell from Memphis, Tennessee. He is the owner of the network, so be sure and listen to him because he's got a great program about developing your material wealth, and I know you want to get all that information. On Thursday, the Progressive News Weekly is at 5:30, and that is hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. So there's a lot of hot issues and current events to be checked out. The Searchers Roadmap show is Friday at 1 p.m., and that's hosted by Rhonda Harrison. She's from Red Feathers Lake, Colorado. She is an expert healer, a great moderator, and now hosts her own show. She brings in a lot of work with shamans. The Dream Vision 7 show is at 3 p.m. on Friday, and that's by Deborah Bouvet from Boston, Massachusetts. And she has some great guests on her show, so be sure and check her out. And her network is made up of over 100 hosts with a listener base in over 125 countries. So we're very international. We have a lot of people calling and listening in on these shows. Saturday is Soul Town, the Sound of Music, that broadcast at 3 p.m. That's from Memphis, Tennessee, by Reginald Jenkins. And then Sunday, the Dream Vision 7 show again, and that's at 3 p.m. So they have some really interesting people on there, and they have like 5 million listeners on this Blog Talk radio show. So we're getting ourselves out there, folks, so be sure and listen in and tune in, and we're going to have a great time tonight. I can't wait to introduce the wonderful guests that I do have. Just wanted to know, does you ever get that feeling that you're stuck in a rut? And how about health issues? You got some health issues? Do you need some prosperity? Of course, we all do. Does it seem nothing is working in your life? Well, then get ready for a fun and exciting show because Gladys McCoy, my special guest, she's the co-founder and director of Ozark Research Institute and leader of the Institute's internationally known Healing Circle Meditation, is with us tonight. Gladys will be sharing what is dowsing, the history, and how dowsing works. She does blind or remote dowsing over the phone for people who have life decisions to make and need a little help, which we all do. You're going to be amazed with all the things this ancient technique can help you with. Gladys is a certified hypnotherapist, past life regressionist. Besides her healing work, she is a workshop facilitator. Her workshop is Clear the Path for Positive Changes in Your Life. In her workshops, you will learn to clear non-beneficial energy from your home, business, and body. Boy, that sounds great. This very easy technique will clear a path for making the changes you desire and help blessings come into your life. Okay, well, good evening, Gladys. Welcome.
Hi, Pam. It's so nice to be on the phone with you.
Well, it is, too. I've been looking forward all week long to this show. So there's so many things I would like to ask, but I guess, why don't you start, Gladys, and tell us some of the history about dowsing and also, you know, how you got into dowsing. How long have you been doing it? You know, what pulled you into it? What was your experience that really made you want to, you know, to learn this process?
Well, dowsing goes back so many years. Over 6,000 years ago, B.C., they discovered rock carvings and paintings in the Sahara Desert that showed, you know, men walking with their cattle, holding wise sticks. And it's believed that in ancient times, you know, people were more connected to the environment, you know, more like they were one unit. So this was a very easy thing for people during that period of time. And it went along for quite some time, and then it became a special interest kind of thing. People lost interest in dowsing because they didn't have the need for it. Like, you know, people today don't believe they have a need for dowsing. But dowsing, you know, leaves people with, what is that? You know, what does that mean, the word? You know, it's like if you say water witch, a lot of people in the South know what a water witch is. People that deal with oil know that they call themselves doodle buggers when they're working with oil and minerals. And, you know, a diviner, people know what a diviner is. And everybody knows somebody from their past years and years and years ago. But they usually think of an old man, you know, because they don't believe that women, you know, are dowsers, but there are many, many dowsers that are women now, and we seem to be carrying on the art of dowsing, and you can find anything with dowsing. You can do anything with dowsing. We feel like it is a great benefit to mankind, even today, probably more so today for us, because water is such an important thing for everyone on earth. We have to have it. We can't survive without it. And even though you live in a big city and probably would never have you don't believe, have the need to learn to douse for water. That is the thing that we teach when we teach dowsing, mostly is about water, because we have to have it, and good potable sources of water. And when a dowser douses for water, we douse for live streams of water. We don't go strictly to, you know, the water table. We look for a stream that runs year-round, never goes dry, and it's a good potable source of water. Pure, clean, fresh water that is not contaminated in any way. And everyone needs to know how to do that, Pam. I think it's really, really important. It is. It's very, very important. Because it's becoming very rare, good potable sources of water. But I got started doing this by just hanging out with my husband, who passed away about 4 years ago. And I just going with him and watching him do it. And we still use the well that he doused back almost 50 years ago. And three families have used this well at one time, and it's never gone dry. And, you know, I know that this is the way it works with dowsing. I have doused many, many wells in Northwest Arkansas myself, but I got started doing it because it just seemed like something that would be of benefit to people. And dowsing works better when there's a need and not a greed. And even when I douse for a well source or water source, I always ask for what the people are going to use this water for, because I don't want them to have such an abundance of water that it will, you know, go to waste. A family of three or four people can survive very well with 4 to 5 gallons a minute. That's a lot of water. And it's enough to run a household. And, you know, water a small garden. But you can use water or water dowsing or dowsing for everything. You can douse for minerals. You can douse for gold, buried treasures. You can use it for so many things. Most of the gas and oil companies have dowsers on their staff. They don't advertise it, but they do. And a lot of backhoe drivers are dowsers, but they don't know they're dowsers. They just know that they have this bent rod and that they can find the buried pipes with it. But it's something that everybody should learn to know how to douse. I truly, truly believe it. You can change the energy in a house. You can change the energy in your food. You can find lost people, lost pets, lost items. You can do a lot of things to benefit yourself as well as other people with dowsing. And we do use it in some of our healing processes also.
Well, that sounds really interesting, and I believe it. I mean, you know, I've seen some work with the wires, just holding the wires in your hands, and how you can just walk up to a person and the wires just open up, you know, and so you can see their force field, their energy field there.
The energy, yeah.
Yeah, that so it just shows you that it works with our energy. But what about, is the pendulum, is that considered a dowsing tool?
Yes, it is. There are four different types of dowsing instruments. There is a pendulum. There's something called a Y rod, which the old timers called a forked stick because they cut it out of a branch of a tree. And we call it a Y rod because it looks like a Y. And then there's an L rod, which is, you know, it can even be a coat hanger that's bent with a handle. And then, of course, we have something called the wand or the bobber. I think Jackie talked to you about her wand, her magic wand. But that can be anything as long as it has it's long and it has a spring on it and it has a weight on the end of it. And I've known people that even use fishing rods as a dowsing instrument because that's all they had at that time. Now, pendulum, all these rods can be made very reasonably and inexpensively. A pendulum can be anything on a string, on a wire, on a, you know, on a chain. You could use your necklace if you were in a, you know, didn't have one with you. Anything that would swing back and forth and give you a yes response or a no response. Did that answer that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Pam dropped off. I don't know what happened, so she'll be right back on the show with us.
Okay.
I have a little technical difficulties here. Have all this power. But, yes, I remember when I first met Pam and we started hanging out and stuff, is the first time that I actually started doing some work with the pendulum. So, I still have my pendulum, too. I like it. I muscle test now, too, but I really like the
pendulum.
And
that's a form of dowsing.
That is
dowsing. Yes.
The muscle testing? Okay.
Yes. I mean, they call it kinesiology. But
right.
It's the same thing. You get the same information.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
okay,
it,
I'm
we
back,
also.
Folks.
Okay. You can also use your body.
I know I got knocked off.
And you were gone, Pam.
I know. I like you never got back anyway. Okay, well, good. I knew Annie would take over for me. Fantastic. And so we're still talking about the different kinds, ways to douse and things.
Yeah.
Of course, I do, me and Annie do the kinesiology, the muscle testing, and when I'm thinking of dowsing, I'm just thinking of the coat hanger rods, you know, using those and
right.
going out. But how does a stick of wood, a piece of wood, that, how does that work? Is it just the energy?
Well, you know,
or?
They bought, you know, what the old-timers did was they cut a fork branch out of a tree. And normally it was a willow or a peach, you know, something that was pliable. You know, you'd cut it right at the fork. I mean, it wasn't a big branch, you know, it was a small branch. Remember the switches that we used to cut out of trees for our parents when we were little? You know, they would be that size. And but you hold them in both hands, and one side in one hand, and that the fork would be at the end of it. And when you would come to your target, it would bend down. Now, for many, many years, they believed that it was the relationship of the piece of wood, you know, the fork branch, the wood part of it is what was attracted to the water, and that's why it would go down. But we use plastic rods now, and we know that there's no connection of that plastic to the water. So the question then comes, well, you know, why does it work and how does it work? I don't know how it works. I do know that when there is a need, it seems to work. And, you know, dowsing has not totally died in all these many, many years. It's been used for so many different things and been used by not scientific, I'm not going to say, but the military's used dowsing. But it's not a scientifically proven thing. You can't replicate a dowsing response on a, you know, one time after another time after another time after another time. It just doesn't work that way. I would say I'm probably 95% accurate with my dowsing, but I don't know a dowser that's 100% because it just doesn't work all the time, just like so many other things. But we don't have to know how it works. We just have to know that it does and believe that it does. You know, we don't know how our refrigerator works. We just know we plug it in, set it on 3, and it cools our food. And so if you can get away from having to know the specifics of how this works, then you can understand, I believe, that it works because there's a connection to your divine source. whatever you may call it. And before I go out and do a dowsing job, I always talk to my God, and I ask him to help me find whatever it is that I'm looking for. And I believe that that's why I can find it. I think I get help from the other side. And the dowsing system, only what it does, it teaches you to believe and gives you a stronger belief in that inner knowing that we all have. And it's just like a printout of something. You have the rods in your hand, and when the rod tells you yes, it makes it more believable because you can actually see this rod move. And the pendulum, when the pendulum moves, now many people don't even use a pendulum. They use their body as a dowsing tool. They get so sensitive to the movement that they get a twitch somewhere in their body, or it moves forward for a yes. And so they don't really need the dowsing rods. I don't need the dowsing rods anymore when I go out to douse a water source. I can intuitively go out there and find the water now because I've done enough of it. But I always use the rods because if I'm doing it for someone else, I'm more comfortable using the rods. And they are much more comfortable with me coming out and saying, okay, this is where the rod went down and this is where, you know, your well site's going to be.
Well, but, you know, I believe that as we work with our intuitive tools, muscle testing, mm-hmm. or, you know, calibrating different things, dowsing, that we become so tuned in and intuitive. And, of course, it seems to me, again, if you're just taking a pointed stick and you're going out there, you're holding the stick, but it's really our body and our intention that finds the water or whatever we're looking for.
Absolutely.
But
you have to set your intention.
What about, though, even though when I muscle test and I was taught to begin with that you have got to get out of the way, you've got to not put your thoughts or that this is, you're going to find this, you're going to find that, wrong with that person, you've got to be blank. And I think that that is the key. And I think that takes time to learn that, to just, you know, just, you're just not there. You're just an instrument, right?
You have to not have any preconceived ideas or desires when you're doing the dowsing work.
Yes.
And that's hard, especially when you're dowsing for yourself. And I have developed a way to douse for myself so that I don't get totally involved in it. And I do this with people over the phone many times because I don't want to influence their desires, you know, with my own, if they're asking me questions. So I write my questions down on small pieces of paper, and I fold my papers up, and I put more than one question in front of me, and then I will put my finger on it, and I'll say, for my highest and best good, is this a yes or a no response? And when it gives me a response, I do all of my questions, but I write the yes or the no on my papers, and then I open them up and I read them. That way, I don't know what's on those papers because I've shuffled them all up.
Okay.
And it keeps me from cheating. And I do the same thing with the people out there when they call me. I say, write it down. Or think it and tell me ready. And my pendulum is in program to respond to when people say ready. It will give me a yes or a no. But the most important thing that you have to do, Pam, when you're doing any of this, I believe, is you get permission. Now, I don't get permission directly from, I don't have to have it necessarily from you. That's not what I'm talking about. You would ask me to douse for you. But I still get permission from my divine source, from my spirit, from whatever helps me do this. I say, may I douse for such and such? And if I get a yes, then I say, can I? Am I capable of doing it? And should I? Is it ethical for me to do this? And I ask all three of those questions before I ever do any dowsing work. And if I get a yes to all three of those, I know it's going to be okay. It's not going to harm anybody. I'm capable of doing it today. And I know I'm going to get good information if I get the may I. And I always get good permission, good information by doing that.
Well, Gladys, what when people call you up and they've got, you know, some issues, what seems to be the thing that you can that they ask for? You know, is it for healing?
Well, they ask for a lot of stuff, Pam, and I do not diagnose and I do not prescribe at all because I'm not a medical practitioner. But if they have questions about herbs or whatever, they can write those on a piece of paper or just think it and say ready. And I'm always dowsing for their highest and best good. And if I get a yes or a no, then I still am not involved in it because I don't really know what they're asking me. But I do have people who ask me about different herbs, different remedies that would help them. I have people who call me and ask me about moving somewhere else in the United States, moving, you know, if this certain apartment would be, you know, beneficial for them to be in or comfortable for them. Just general questions, you know, should they do this or should they do that?
Yeah.
I never really know what they are asking me, frankly, because I don't want to.
Yes.
Well, that keeps
I
out of trouble.
Right. Uh-huh. So you don't have any preconceived, you know, thoughts about it. And that's the way I do, too. But I don't think I could walk out on the ground and just and figure out where there's water. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you could if you had done it over and over and over again, you know,
yeah,
with the rods. You get so you're familiar with, you know, and you learn to trust that little intuitive guide that you have inside you, that small, still voice. And when you get that thing, okay, it's here, you trust it after a while, Pam.
Okay, so you get the inner knowing, but when you do that, before that, do the rods, do they like point down at a certain spot, or do they go out?
Yes, they do.
Out or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Y
rod points down. The L rods will guide you to a spot. You use one L rod and you say, take me to the place, you know, and by this time I've already dowsed a map anyway. So I have a general idea of where I'm going to, you know, have to go to put that stake in the ground for the well. But because I always douse a map first. And
well, how do you do that? How do you douse the map? You just pull
it? I use my pendulum and a ruler. And, of course, I still get my permission. And I start at the top of the page with my ruler coming down. And I ask it to give me a yes response when I come to a place where there would be a good potable source of water for this family. And I have all my perimeters in there. How much water I need, no deeper than such and such, you know. And when it says yes, my pendulum says yes, I make a line across that map. And then I come back from the side and I do the same thing. I make another mark when it says yes. And so I've got an X. Now, on a map, that could be a fairly good-sized place. It's not like pinpointing it. And so you still have to go out on the ground and walk the ground. But it gives you a place to start. So you don't have to walk over 1,000 acres or 500 acres or, you know, even 20 acres. Because back here, you really don't want to do that, especially in the summertime. And so then you go out in the field with your rods, with your Y rod, and you ask that one L rod to take you to the spot. And it will move and point you to that spot where you need to go for the optimal place to place that well, and it will turn away when it comes to that. Then you take the two rods and you back off and you walk across and ask it to give you a yes, and it will cross. And you should be able to look straight down And that right there would be where you would put your peg. But I do the Y-rod too, and I back off, and I come back with my Y-rod, and I ask my Y-rod to point down when I come to it. And I've got the rods in my hands, and I hold them tight enough that my fingernails dig into my palm, and they will twist and turn and go down. The rod actually moves, but your hands don't when you come to that spot. And then I put the peg in the ground, and I'm finished. And
that's
then they
exciting.
Call their well driller.
Uh-huh.
But it's,
well, have they ever drilled it and you didn't have water there?
You know, I did. I had a dry well, and it was one that I had to move from the spot that I had picked on the map, because the well driller couldn't have gotten up in that area. So when I did it again, I had to redo the whole, you know, just walk the ground. And it did not, it came in with a little water, but it was not enough to do what he wanted done. And then at one time, the first well I ever did, I told them they would go 250 feet and they would get water. And they would, you know, get so many gallons per minute. And they went down 700 feet. And the water came up to 250 feet. I don't know to this day what my question or my you know, information that I was asking for, the question I asked was not right. Or I would have been more right on as to how deep they would have had to go. But they did get the water at 250 feet. So,
okay,
but 700 foot is a long way down there.
Well, that, I tell you what, how fun. Well, so do people call you all the time wanting you to come and douse a well for them, or just they find you?
I probably do 5 or 6 of them a year here in Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Well,
I do. Yeah, but, you know, people do that all over the United States. I know right now the dowsers are very, very active in California, because they're desperate for water, and they're dowsing a lot of wells out there. But I use my dowsing to make all kinds of decisions for myself, and I use it, like I told you, you know, I use it to douse a diagram of a house to clear it for non-beneficial energies, which could be electromagnetics, it can be geopathic energies, it could be environmental energies, it could be spirit. A lot of people have little ghosts that live in their houses that aren't beneficial to them, and so you can douse it, and you can, you know, clear it with this dowsing system. And I do that a lot for people. I use it on bodies, because to me, a disease is a non-beneficial energy. And that takes a little power away from the disease. It takes power away from the fact that you have an environmental thing going on, or electromagnetic, or geopathic, if you just say non-beneficial. And if I can get permission to douse a diagram that somebody sends me, and I douse it, I can block it with, and as silly as it sounds, blue ink. I use a blue ink pen, and I make these marks on the map. And it works, Pam.
Well, all right. I'm going to get you to work on me tonight, because I have
and,
a problem.
Okay. And then I write.
Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
Well,
so
I write a prayer for that person also, or for that house. And a prayer or a mantra, whatever you want to call it. And once that's put on that piece of paper, it seems to hold the energy. It binds the energy. And you don't have to do anything else with it. You know, I use a lot of words in my work that I do, because our words are very, very powerful. They're as powerful as our thoughts. They are our thoughts. And we create with them, and we can uncreate with those thoughts and with those words. And so I use a lot of affirmations when I do the work also. So.
Okay. Well, this just sounds so exciting. I have like 100 questions I want to ask you about all kinds of things. But anyways, now tell me about your workshop. Just clear the path for positive changes in your life.
Okay.
Where you do talk a little bit about your workshops, because I want people to know what you're about. And also I want everybody to write this phone number down and get in touch with Gladys. The number is 479-582-9197. That is the website is www.ozarkresearch.org. And that's how you can get in touch with Gladys anytime. Is there any other information that you want to give them about how to reach you?
Yeah, well, our email is ORI@IPA. We changed it. It's ORI@OzarkResearch.org. Okay?
Okay,
and they can email us anytime also. And, you know, we're open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Central Time. And we take requests for healing, for our healing circle. Now, we don't necessarily use dowsing all the time in our healing work. We use prayer. And we are chartered in the state of Arkansas to do research into the power of thought, the power of prayer, the laying on of hands, and such as that. And we know it works. We set out to prove it. And it's something, again, that's one of those things. The stories we get are what they call anecdotal, you know, but they are really... miracles happen for people in that healing circle that we have on Tuesday night. And we have phone calls from all over the world, Pam, of people who are in need. And that's the whole purpose of the Tuesday night healing meditation group, is to send healing out to other people. And it's not just physical healing. A lot of it's emotional. The biggest part of it right now is financial blessings that people need in their lives. And we're open. It doesn't cost anything for people to call in and ask for help. And we're open to trying anything. We don't believe there's anything that's impossible.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I have known about your healing circle. It's on Tuesdays. Is that right?
That's right. 7:30 every Tuesday night.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And we never miss a Tuesday night.
Or do you have people come in and you work on? When you do these healing
circles,
do people get worked on there, or do you just do prayers?
We do. We have people who call and come in. We've had people that have flown in and spent 3 or 4 days with us. And we've had, you know, the different practitioners come in and do their type of healing on them. We have people that do Reiki, and we have people that do healing touch, and a lot of them just call it energy healing. And I do, you know, spiritual counseling with people. And I think most of the people, I would say all of the people, actually, who come there on Tuesday night and who are involved with the Ozark Research Institute are probably the most heart-centered people I've ever met in my whole life. And I feel so honored to be a part of that with them, because they're there to help other people. They don't come to serve themselves. And that's a rarity in this day and time, that they're special people, I think. And they get excited when something good happens for somebody else. So, but they can call me anytime they want. Leave me a message if I don't answer the phone, because I do take messages 24 hours a day.
24 hours. Wow, that's great that they can call in if they have, you know, a special request or prayer need or something. I hope everyone is listening in to this show, and when you do get online, that you will get in touch with Gladys and call into the Ozark Research Center at 479-582-9197. Well, Gladys, I have a problem with, look, this is, I'm really a healthy person, and but for years I've had problems with my gallbladder, and I take supplements daily to keep it functioning, you know, where it works good. And actually, I don't know how long I've had gallbladder problems. They used to tell me it was my stomach, but I really think I was having problems then, way, way back, maybe 15 years ago or more. So I was wondering if you might do, because everything else seems to be working pretty good, but that I always continually have that problem there. So I would like for you, if you wouldn't mind, to see if you could, what you could pick up for me and see if we could clear this
out. Do you actually have gallbladder attacks?
No, I'm pretty much functioning, okay? It's just that my gallbladder, if I don't eat right, it gets, I guess, maybe inflamed. You know, maybe I get a little pain there, but it's just uncomfortable, like maybe a little indigestion or something like that. I just know, you know, if I've eaten something, or I might even get a little diarrhea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That happens too. But that's pretty much what happens.
There's three things that we like to know, Pam, and maybe you wouldn't want to do this on the show. You could, you know, email it to me or call me tomorrow. But
okay.
I need a name, I need an age, and or approximate age, and the issue that you want us to work with.
Okay.
And then we can, you know, proceed with it. It's all done, you know, from a more meditative state. Now, what I do when I clear a body, I do my dowsing work, and I use my blue ink, and I clear any non-beneficial energy, which would be the gallbladder problem, from your body with the blue ink. And then I do the affirmation or the prayer for you. And sometimes I come up with things that make absolutely no sense why this word would come to my mind when I'm doing the affirmation. But I write it. And I write every word that comes to me. I did a young girl many years ago that I knew very, very well. And when she found out I was doing this on the human form, you know, clearing the bodies, I did it for her because she asked me to. And I came up with weird things, like she was a good mother, and she was the one thing that shocked me more than anything was the words, "She is protected by the golden white light of God," came to me. And to me, that is the most powerful thing I could call on as a protective thing for this girl. And I found out I had known her for probably 10 years. I found out that she had been physically and mentally abused from the time she married her husband, and she was 19 at that time when she married him. And she was like almost 42 when I did the work. So she wasn't a good mother because she kept her children in that situation. And she definitely needed the protection. So no matter what comes to me, I write it. Now, I will send you a copy of what I get, Pam. And I'll let you look at
good.
It.
I think I want to.
And then we'll talk about it
tomorrow.
After you get it. Huh?
Yes. I think I'm going to call you tomorrow.
Okay.
And let you see what
you know, I like to talk to people about it when I do it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
After it's done, yeah, it's important that you see the work I did and read what I wrote because it will mean something to you. And that's what I teach in my workshop. And I like to have people put a name at the top of the page and an age of a person and then switch with somebody else in the classroom who doesn't know this person and have them douse that person and clear them and write the affirmation. And it proves that it works because every person in the room will come up with something that's either physically wrong with that person or has been or something in the emotion, something that they need help with at this time. And that's one of the things that I always try to do in any of the workshops that I do, as well as the affirmations, working with the words, and teaching them how to create the goodness in their life and how to uncreate what they don't want. But you call
okay.
me tomorrow, and we'll take care of it, Pam.
I want to ask, Art, how do you find it? So, say someone calls you up and say, I've lost something. How do you find that for them? What do you do?
How do I find it?
Yes.
Okay, the first thing I do is say to, first thing I ever do is do this. And I did this on my own. No one taught me this. It saves me a lot of time. First thing I do is ask the pendulum, is such and such truly lost to? So I'm going to say Pam has lost her grandmother's great grandmother's ring. Is Pam's great grandmother's ring truly lost to her? And if my pendulum tells me yes, then I'm going to tell you that it's not going to do any good to look for it. If it tells me no, it's not truly lost, then I know it's just been misplaced. And then I will ask you, okay, where were you the last time you physically had that ring in your hand? And as you tell me where you were, my pendulum is swinging, and it will give me yes and no's when you're talking to me. And, you know, truth, not truth, yes, that is where she was. And then I say, okay, is it wherever you think you've lost it? I'll ask, is it here? Is it in this space? And it'll give me a yes or a no. If it gives me a yes, many times I will have you stand in the middle of the room and pivot around in the room. And I'm asking my pendulum to give me a yes when you're facing the area that you need to walk to find that ring. And then you can walk over there wherever, when I tell you yes, go, and you walk over there and you search in that area, whatever's there. And many times you'll find it. Not every time, but many times you do. Because every time you say, oh, I think I left my great-grandmother's ring on that table next to the couch, that's a thought form. And you leave your thought forms every time you think that's where it was. And thought forms can be doused. And so if I can get to you before you think too many things, the chances of us finding it are better than they would be if it's been 5 or 6 years.
That is interesting, before you get all that stuff in there going. Okay, that's good. I think, Annie, do we have a caller online? Making sure.
Okay.
Yes, we have someone that just wants to listen tonight, but also Melissa, that is a Tuesday nighter with you, Gladys.
Yes.
She is on, and she would like to say a few things about how great it is on Tuesday night. Melissa,
okay.
Are you there?
Hi, Gladys. I just wanted
hey.
To call and tell everybody I've been a member for probably close to 15 years, and I have witnessed so many miracles coming out of that organization that we could write just a massive book. They're incredible people, incredible energy, and if anyone ever needs help, call.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you for giving us a space.
Yes. Well, this is so exciting. Well, I know there's so much more that you're doing and that you're sharing. I wanted to ask Annie, did you have a question? Do you want to ask Gladys something? I know she's listening in. That you would like to know. We all have something.
I have recently moved my mother in with me. She had a fall. She's 85. And so she just needs some help to get herself revived back. And I need to call you, too, probably off the air. But I was just wondering, like, I've been doing really well at my job. I did I'm in sales, and so the month of October I did really well, and I felt like I was so out of touch, you know, but I ended up, I think I've had the biggest month I've had this year there. And so, like, for prosperity and my job, I mean, do you, how do we?
Oh, yeah, we work on that, too.
I mean.
Number one, we find out if there's something wrong with the place that you're working.
Oh, that'd be good.
That's creating the issues that you're having.
Right.
There can be energies there that aren't, you know, that you're not compatible with. And they can, some of them can be changed. I've had people who called who said the energy in the office was just so scattered and everybody was so mean, you know, and they weren't getting along. And I would douse that space, of course, only after I got permission again, and clear it, do a program for it. And, I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's getting through with their work, and they're offering to help each other, and things change completely. When I work on businesses, that happens also. I did work on a Chinese restaurant one time. The owner asked me to work on it because business was slowed down. And it was one of the best Chinese restaurants in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And when I got it all done, he sold the restaurant and moved. So I didn't benefit myself that time, but he was happy. He was the one that was not happy. So his restaurant sold. And people have used this technique for dowsing, for selling properties, real estate, if your house isn't selling. Many times there's a reason that something's wrong with the energy of the property, and it can be changed with the dowsing system, and then it'll sell.
Oh, so that's interesting.
There's no end to what you can do with the dowsing.
It's all about knowing the questions, Gladys. So if you don't know how to
it
ask,
is.
You've got
it
to
is.
Know how to ask, and to, so you can get the correct answer. And
that's right.
That's the key right there. Even with what I do.
I mean, you know, if you ask
the question right, I will always get the answer.
Yeah, but if you ask if your car needs gas, of course it needs gas, unless it's electrical.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
You have to ask it totally different than that. If you really want to know if your car needs gas, so you know, you can get home. Do I need to put gas in it right now? You know, if your gas gauge is broke or whatever. So there is the question is most important. So if you just ask a general question, you're not going to get a good answer.
Well,
so like
you think
with my
the more
work,
specific. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say, like with my work, I have the issues of not everybody wanting to step up and do their job. So I could work on that. And
there you go.
They would either do that or maybe we would get new people.
That's right. That's right. I have done businesses where I programmed it that everybody was happy and liked their job, and the guy lost all but one of his employees. And but he got a whole new crew who really liked working there. So negativity cannot survive in positive energy.
Right.
And when you put positive energy in a space, if there's anything negative there, it will leave. Or it will transform and make changes.
And I would be fine with that.
Okay.
Or leave, either way.
Well, just call. We'll talk about it. How's that?
Okay, yes. This is great. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well,
this would be interesting. Annie's had to deal with a lot of slackers that she's worked with for years, and boy, and you've got to do this. Let's see if Gladys can
change things at work that we've been wanting, but people have just been so lax, you know, in getting anything done there.
Okay. Yeah, it can make a big difference. And, you know, where you see buildings where businesses go in and they only last for a short period of time, and then they go defunct, and the buildings remain, you know, empty for a long time. Many, many times it's because there's some type of energy around that property that is keeping the business from succeeding, and it can be doused and cleared and change the energy, and it changes the whole thing. What, like I said, once you put positive energy in, it brings positive in. And I like to keep that surrounded up by us all the time. And the building at ORI, when people walk in that building, they say, oh, it's so wonderful in here. They can feel the energy in that building is different than what they've ever sensed before. And everyone's gone someplace, walked into a building where you just felt really icky when you'd walk in there. It's because there's some non-beneficial energy there.
Well, I think this is so amazing what you're doing, and it is something that if you do, you have to have a dowser, or you just have to know how to do it to be able to move the energy.
Oh, I can teach anybody how to do it. It's so easy. It's the simplest thing that I ever came across, and it doesn't cost anything, just a little bit of blue ink, and you can really make a difference with it. In the prayer. Or you can have the dowsing instrument swinging, and you can change the energy just by swinging your dowsing instrument with the intention. You said that earlier, Pam. Intention. You set your intention of what you want to have happen. And then with your words and your thoughts, you can make changes and put that positive stuff in. It's really amazing. When we started this organization, it was started on a shoestring. And it was with tape also, because Harold just knew that it was supposed to be. And he put that energy out, and he never lost faith that it was going to do what it did. And it's grown, and we have succeeded in doing a lot of the things that he set out to do, and we've made a difference for a lot of people. And I say we, and that's not just me and him or the organization. It's the people that are attached to the organization that have done this, and it's because they have that energy of love and that emotion, because you cannot do any of this work straight from your brain or from your mind. You have to have your emotion involved, or it just doesn't seem to work as well. It's the fuel that sends it out there. Mm. And the people that come there have a lot of fuel, believe me.
I know they do. Actually, I know. Annie, Jackie, does she want to speak to Gladys before, because we're getting ready to end the program in a minute.
Oh, is she there?
Well, let's see. She said she was on a conference call and just took a break, so she checked in. Let's see if she wants. Hey, Jackie, did you want to have anything to say?
Yes, I do. Hi, Gladys.
Hey, Jackie.
I love you guys, and I just want to tell you that ORI is my home away from home. And the first time I walked in, they were doing they were dowsing over people and doing hands-on healing, and I just walked in, walked straight to a table and started working, and I've been real regular ever since. And I invite anybody that wants a healing, needs a healing, or whatever, to call Gladys and let us work on it. Have a great show. Love you.
Love you, Jackie.
Thank you for calling, Jackie. Well, look at that. You have your little support group calling you there. Well, Gladys, honey, it has been
I do,
wonderful.
And they are wonderful. They not only support me, but they support the whole thing. So they support each other, and that's what makes it special. Yeah.
Well, we're just going to get you back on again, on down the road real soon. And so you can share your great work that you're doing, and definitely we'll get in touch with you. And I want to thank everyone that called in and listened to the show. Also, next Monday night, I have Mahala, my world astrologer, is going to be here, so be sure to tune in and hear what she's got to say about the predictions for November. And I want to thank everyone again, and have a good evening.
Okay.
Thank you, Pam.
Have a great week.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Pam.
Good night. Thank you, Brad.
Bye-bye.
Bye.